This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Stardom Sit'em Week 3. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. That is Kyle Yates and Andrew Erickson. And, of course, it's you. And today, it's all about the starts and the sits for Week 3. We've got a little bit more data to go off, which is great, but some new matchups to ponder and figure out how to set our lineups. And the boys are going to help you guys get all the right players in. No mistakes this week. None. They're guaranteed. Right, guys? Guaranteed. We're not human at all. We are literally robots, and every single thing that we get is going to be correct. Right, Yates?
Sure.
There you go. The vote of confidence for Yates. I kid. But honestly, it was a pretty good track record, I think, for the first couple weeks. Certainly last week, too, we touched on a lot of guys. Andrew, the must start last week was Rob Gronkowski, and Mike Davis was the must sit. So I think in that regard, I think we did okay.
Yeah, I mean, Rob Gronkowski looks like he's playing like he's 25 years old, so you got to love that. And don't play running backs against Tampa Bay. I think it's that simple.
Will Tom Brady play till he's 50, Andrew?
He might, honestly. As long as he gets to play the Falcons twice a year, I mean, how can you say no to that?
That's a beautiful thing. And it's funny, Yates, because like you hear that floating around right now, and you start to wonder yourself, well, that can't be. And then we all have this weird pause because it's him.
It's been the same thing for like 4 years now. It's like, this is Tom Brady's last year, right? Like, it's going to tail off eventually. And then here he is like leading the league in pass attempts and, you know, rush or passing yards and passing. It's ridiculous what he's doing. It's insane.
Absolutely crazy. But you know what? We did learn some things, as we said, from week two, and that's going to help inform our week three. Plus, we've got some injuries to break down, too, as we are recording this here on Wednesday afternoon. Make sure you continue to follow us over on Fantasy Pros, the news desk as well, and that app that we have that you get the latest information going on with all the guys and the injuries, because there are a lot this week to break down and figure out. We'll also hit later on a little Thursday Night Football, but we're going to go position by position, talk about the starts and the fades and everything in between. But first, I want to also refer everybody once again to the Start Sit Assistant, and that is, of course, at fantasybros.com/myplaybook. That's what you're looking for right now. The Start Sit Assistant, basically, it's an instant recommendation on your team's best lineup for the week. You see the percentages of experts who would start each player on your roster, and you can edit that and set your lineup straight from My Playbook. And My Playbook is such a great feature. It really does make managing multiple leagues so much easier. And there's so many of us out there, and I know you're probably one of them if you're listening to the show, who are playing in multiple leagues, and My Playbook is the best way to do that. You can view your change lineups in all your leagues in this one tool and get an instant email if your lineup changes before kickoff. Plus, don't forget about Autopilot. That is a huge feature that we have as well. It's an easy way to manage your lineup, save time, and especially if you're in those multiple leagues, you auto swaps and active players. So last minute, somebody's out. Guess what? Autopilot's going to take care of that and set your lineup. It's like having a GM in your pocket for all of your teams. It's unbelievable. And it can automatically set your optimal lineup each week too. If you're busy, if you're traveling, if you've got other commitments, and I can't imagine what other commitments you would have on a Sunday besides football, But maybe you have a life, not like us, and you actually have other things going on. Autopilot is for you. And of course, all of those amazing features are at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. So go check that out. Now, boys, we've got, I said, once again, more data to go off, a little bit better idea of where we're all off. But let's start with the running backs here, because I think right now, when we're looking at who we're fading collectively this week at the running back position, Andrew, let's start with you. Is there somebody, before you even get to the top 20 guys, just overall, is there a fade for you this week that you just don't love the matchup, the situation, the health, or a combination of all?
It's the Mr. One Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know that a lot of fantasy managers are really frustrated with CEH because he has not been able to produce despite playing in the best offense in the NFL. And I think that kind of goes to show you more about the player that CEH is and not necessarily the fact that he's not benefiting from the situation, because maybe he's just not that good. Like, that's something that I think we need to kind of come to grips with, that, yeah, he was a first round pick, but it was maybe not the right pick for the Chiefs to make last season. There were a lot of great running backs they could have taken instead, but they elected to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And if you look at the numbers so far this year, PFF rushing grade, dead last, 46.2. 36th out of 40 qualifying running backs in terms of target rate per route run. So he's not being targeted. He's running very poorly efficiency-wise. It's not the offensive line's fault, because the offensive line improved from last year, so you can't really blame that there. He's losing out on goal line touches to Darrell Williams, and this goes back to last season. If you look at his rookie year, the first 14 weeks of his rookie season, he had 14 carries inside the 10-yard line. He has 4 since then, and obviously on the last time that they played, Darrell Williams got the goal line carry on a first down. So it wasn't like, you know, they took out CEH or whatever, but it was Darrell Williams from the get-go. He was going to be the goal line back in that particular play. So you don't have the touchdown equity with CEH. He's an afterthought in the passing game because of Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and all these other weapons. I mean, we saw a game where Tyreek Hill was not featured, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire also wasn't featured. So I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what am I trying to latch myself onto with CEH despite that, oh, he plays for the Chiefs. It's like, okay, but that's not enough. That's clearly not enough for us to be backing him as a top 24 running back this week, or just kind of moving forward. So again, I'm pretty concerned about CEH, just the fact that he's just not looked like himself or an explosive running back. Again, he did deal with an ankle injury in the beginning of the preseason, so I'm not sure if that's lingering, and hopefully that's kind of the reason why he's playing so poorly. Again, you never want to wish an injury, but you know, I didn't think he was a terrible running back coming out of college, but what he's put on the film so far this season has just not been good. And I know that people are going to want to get back into CEH because of the matchup this week. Los Angeles Chargers, most rushing yards allowed to running backs. You're like, okay, here we go. Like, I can go back in. And that's kind of what I thought too. But when I look deeper at it, you know, part of the reason why the Chargers are giving up so much rushing yards is because they deploy a lot of light boxes. So they don't put eight defenders in the box. There's a lot of 7-man fronts, and good running backs take advantage of that. Guys like Antonio Gibson, Zeke, Tony Pollard, the last 2 weeks, we all took advantage of that. CH has 22 of his 27 carries are against light boxes. He has PFF's second worst run grade against light boxes. So even when you factor in the matchups, like when there's guys not looking to stop the run, it doesn't matter. Like, Edwards-Helaire is not getting it done. So I'm benching him this week, and I just don't want to play him. I'm trying to trade him off if I can. Again, it's selling low, but there is also called selling till you have nothing left. So I'm very concerned about Edwards-Helaire.
Seems like a deja vu conversation from yesterday's podcast regarding Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And Andrew jumped right into the pool with 2 feet there in the top 20. So we might as well stick around there. That was actually my guy as well, for many of the same reasons Andrew was talking about. And some of the ones that I expressed yesterday on the podcast, in case you missed it, with Jamie Eisenberg, who joined us, which is, I feel like we're all chasing that Kareem Hunt season, but Patrick Mahomes has evolved so quickly as a quarterback that there's no more checkdowns. He's just looking to throw wherever the guy is open downfield, and he is so good that he just doesn't necessarily need a run game. Should they have one? Probably. But it feels like they're okay offensively. Their problem right now might be on the other side of the ball. But Yates, I'm sure you've got a different name here. So who in the top 20 of running backs are you fading this week?
Well, it's actually funny because we went into the show sheet and I was like, all right, here we go. Top 20 concerns, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Oh, wait, you both have listed him. All right, I'll pick someone else. But no, I am definitely concerned. And it's so weird with CEH, because we go, it's such a weird instance with CEH where we say he actually might be better off for fantasy if he was in a different offense that featured him as a receiver, because that's his best trait. That's his best quality in this offense. They don't need him. And so right now, yeah, CEH, I'm definitely concerned with him. He is outside my top 20 running backs on the week. The player that I will mention as far as concerns, I am definitely not like moving off this player to the level of what we're talking about with CEH, but it's Jonathan Taylor for me. Jonathan Taylor, what we have seen through the first 2 weeks right now is definitely concerning for me. And what we had at least after week one and what I thought we were going to have moving forward was, okay, well, he's at least going to have a significant target share, right? 7 targets in week one, drops all the way down to 1 target last week. And so now where we have a 3.3 yards per carry on the season for Jonathan Taylor, he has 0 breakaway yards on the season, which is a stat measured by PFF of rushing yardage off 15 plus yard runs. That is what Jonathan Taylor has been so good at, is breaking away these long runs. That's not happening. We saw him get several opportunities right off the gate in week one to find the end zone. They were on the 3-yard line and he had 3 attempts, couldn't get it into the end zone. So I think there are reasons to be concerned here about Jonathan Taylor if he is not going to look the same as he did last year. And also if that target usage is going to be up and down, we just don't have any predictability with him. So I'm concerned about Jonathan Taylor moving forward, but he is still someone that we can still comfortably rely on as a low-end RB1, high-end RB2. I'm not moving and fading him all the way like we are with CEH.
Yeah, I'll take it a step further, too. When you downgrade a quarterback, possibly also less scoring opportunities just from moving the chains. And that's just very simple football 101 there. When you don't have the quarterback who can do that, you're automatically limiting fantasy potential. So sometimes it's the easy answer as well. All of our questions here when we do who should I start, they're all powered by our amazing who should I start tool, which is free to use, by the way, over at fantasypros.com/start. So basically, it's a player comparison tool where all the guys that we discuss, basically, we pull from the show, but you can figure out, like, do I want to start this guy or this guy? You plug in the names and you can make it work for yourself. Here's one, just because we were talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I was going to save it for later, but since all three of us had something to add to this mix about him, who would you rather start this week, or who should you start this week, Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Kareem Hunt, Yates?
I'm still going CEH there. I've got CEH at RB21 in my running back rankings this week, and then Kareem Hunt at 26. I mentioned it with last week. I was like, Kareem Hunt, in this matchup, he could potentially finish as a top 10 option, or he could finish outside the top 40 if he doesn't find the end zone, and he finished at exactly RB40 on the week. So because he didn't find the end zone, he is an extremely touchdown-dependent option. And up against the Bears' run defense, I just don't know if we're going to see that here from Kareem Hunt. So he's still an option that you can roll with, but I'm going to go with CEH still over Kareem Hunt.
Andrew, how about you with some of these injuries that the Browns have had to their receiving core? Is there a chance that maybe Hunt gets a little bit more action in that passing game and maybe makes up some of that deficit in terms of touchdown need in order to return value?
Yeah, I think that Kareem Hunt would be my choice over Clyde Edwards-Helaire, kind of for that reason. That's kind of where my mind went to. If they don't have a lot of receiving options, you know, we don't necessarily see teams just, okay, well, now we got to target Anthony Schwartz, Donovan Peoples-Jones, multiple times per game. It's like, no, we're going to focus on the strengths of our team, which is the run game and the tight ends. So it's the complete opposite of Edwards-Helaire, where Chiefs don't need him. Like, he can be terrible and not be involved at all, and they can put up 35 points. Like, if the Browns are going to score points, it's going to be because of their run game, because of Kareem Hunt, because of Nick Chubb. So I think it's easy for me. It's Kareem Hunt.
I'll break the tie. I think I would agree with you, Andrew, that I think it might be Hunt. And I think also the factor is what's your record right now, too. If you're 0-2 because you had big capital into Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you have to give yourself pause a little bit and say, I really need some points this week. Maybe Hunt is a little safer floor of points, but man, it is a tough one for sure. Let's get to some other running backs here that are out there on the bubble. I want to talk to you about, let's talk about Henderson right now, Andrew. Obviously not 100% in terms of health. What are your thoughts on him this week? Probably on that bubble of RB2, maybe flex in some of those 10-team leagues.
Yeah, the matchup is obviously terrible against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like I mentioned, off at the top, 4th fewest rushing yards allowed to the running back position. Again, they do give up receptions to running backs, but Daryl Henderson's role in the receiving game has kind of been up and down. I know that he's been running a lot of routes with Matthew Stafford, which is really good, on a per drop back basis. But so I'd feel better if he just wasn't hurt or wasn't banged up. Like, this rib cartilage thing is not a injury that I think just kind of goes away. We were like, oh, just like, so I feel like this is like a pain tolerance thing. And no offense to like Daryl Henderson, but the dude has always been like banged up all the time. He has never been a guy that's been able to play effectively while hurt. We saw that last year when he came back from his injury. He was not nearly as good as he was during the first half of the season. So I'm just like, look, if it was a better matchup, like, okay, like roll him out. He's playing the Texans. Like, all right, he'll get it done. He'll score a couple touchdowns. But You know, why if you're Sean McVay, why are you going to roll out your banged up running back against the best run defense in the NFL when you have Matthew Stafford and just like, let's just throw the ball? Like, this is exactly how you beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So it's not really a knock on Henderson. I just don't think they're going to necessarily need to use him in this matchup. They'll probably involve Sony Michel a little bit more. And then this is a Super Bowl. This is a team of Super Bowl aspirations. They got to make sure Henderson is like good to go for the season long. So really, it's not really a knock on Henderson, who I think has actually played and looked really good so far this year. It's just, I think that this is kind of a matchup where it's like, hey, like, we don't really need you in this matchup. You need to get healthy. I don't even know if he's actually even going to suit up in this game, to be totally honest. Like, the injury when I first heard was like, I'm pretty sure he's not going to play in this game. And again, even if Sony Michel kind of steps in as that RB1, it's like, I'm not like thrilled about starting him either because, right, again, of the matchup as well. So someone has to be the starting running back for the Rams. And I just don't know if you want to play whoever that is, because I think it's just going to be a pass attack. You know, we've seen the layout. We saw a team try to beat them and it's through passing the ball. So I think that's what the Rams will do. And that's probably why I'm not going to be high on Henderson.
Yates, James Robinson is right now expert consensus ranking RB26. He's got back-to-back weeks of single digits, half point PPR performances. I know a lot of people thought he was going to be a safe RB2, maybe in a value, depending on where they drafted him, especially after that Travis Etienne injury. But going into this week against Arizona, what are your thoughts on Robinson?
Yeah, I'm looking to sit James Robinson if I can still. Now, it's encouraging to see that he got more of the workload and that he, you know, dominated at least the carry share here in this backfield, which we probably should have been able to like forecast in week one. It's like, hey, start James Robinson and play him more than Carlos Hyde, but that's Urban Meyer. With James Robinson going up against the Arizona Cardinals defense, they're allowing only 14.4 fantasy points per game. They are sixth in total DVOA and 10th in rush DVOA. This is a very good defense on the ground. And so with James Robinson, I think that this offense is going to continue to sputter. And I don't know if the scoring opportunities are going to be there. So I think there are some other options that you can play that have a little bit more upside. Like right now, I might play Tony Pollard over James Robinson just because of the upside, right? With James Robinson, what is the upside? Is he going to find the end zone in this one? Probably not. So Tony Pollard, I think he's looked a lot better than James Robinson through 2 weeks. And I think he has an opportunity to find the end zone in that matchup. So I think at that point, I'll play Tony Pollard over James Robinson.
Let's take a quick time out from the action to tell you about Owner's Box. Owner's Box is introducing a new Superflex salary cap game that will revolutionize the way you play fantasy football, and it brings a new strategy alternative to the traditional season-long formats and daily fantasy games. The Superflex salary cap format, available only at Owner's Box. It removes the kicker and the defense position slots and focuses on the offensive players. Users will build up their 9-player lineup while staying under the 50 grand salary cap. Large prize pools will be available throughout the season. The Superflex position, the main differentiator of the contest, gives the user the option to select an additional quarterback, running back, wide receiver, or tight end. Ultimately, it makes the quarterback a premium position versus the other formats. Players can use the promo code DREW9 for a $10 entry into the salary cap contest, one time only. Adding that super flex spot allows you the versatility in your lineup construction. You now have the option of starting two quarterbacks instead of one, boosting the value of all quarterbacks, which is something you'll notice with our game over at Owner's Box versus other platforms. You also have the versatility to completely ignore the quarterback position if you want and take a low price player to fill that super flex spot if you dare. But you can only dare if you play. So once again, go to Owner's Box and use that promo code DREW9 for a $10 entry fee for that salary cap contest. One-time use only over at Owner's Box. And now, back to the action. I want to ask you about another player, too. I'm not always big on revenge narrative games, but Kenyon Drake does have one here against the Dolphins. And right now, in terms of trending news, Josh Jacobs is not looking great. Now, on the bad news side for Kenyon Drake so far this year, the rushing numbers haven't been good. Neither have the attempts necessarily. However, receiving-wise, he's been a little bit better. Andrew, when you're looking at him, he's caught, I think, 9 of these 10 targets so far that he's seen this year. It's a pretty good number. Is there any way that Kenyon Drake would be a flex RB for you this week with this matchup at home there against the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head. He's got the work in the passing game, and anything that he gets for rushing attempts, if Josh Jacobs has to sit, is just kind of gravy that you add on to his PPR or half point PPR production, because they want to throw the football. Like, the Raiders are not going out to run the ball, especially without Josh Jacobs. They kind of made that clear. You know, they had 4 or 5 receivers have over 5 receptions in the last game that they played. So they're spreading it out. They're getting everybody involved. You know, Darren Waller didn't see 20 targets in one game, so they did involve some other players. But to think that Darren Waller or that Kenyon Drake is still caught, you know, 5 balls in, I think, the past 2 games with Darren Waller also still being involved, with some of these other receivers popping off here and there with Renfro, with Henry Ruggs, with Brian Edwards. I mean, it seems like his role is pretty consistent as the pass catching back, which is always what he should have been. So when Cliff Kingsbury like put him into this like two down role as an early grinder made no freaking sense. So at least John Gruden kind of made sure that, okay, like he is a pass catching back. So let's use him in that element. I think that's where he's at his best. I think they're using him the right way. So he's not a great rusher. That's okay. You'll take what you can get. I mean, Peyton Barber's rushing for 2.5 yards per carry. Like, let him have those rushing attempts. He doesn't have the touchdown equity potentially because Peyton Barber will probably get those. But I think that from the reception standpoint, those are safe with Kenyon Drake. So I like him as a low-end flex play.
Yates, who should I start? Kenyon Drake or JD McKissick as a flex running back this week?
Oh, gross. I think that I would personally rather start Kenyon Drake just because I feel more confident in his role and what he is going to be able to do, right? Especially if Josh, and that's of course with the caveat of Josh Jacobs being out for this matchup. So I think with Kenny Drake, he's a flex play only for me in full PPR formats where I at least know that I can get maybe 8-9 points out of him. And I think that that's the ceiling. Whereas with JD McKissick, there's a possibility that he goes back to only 20 total snaps played like he had in week one. So I just don't feel comfortable with JD McKissick yet. I will go with Kenny Drake over him.
All right, Yates, when you're looking at the board right now, who outside of the top 24 running backs do you feel good about starting this week, either at a flex or an RB2, depending on the depth of league?
Yeah, so outside, you said outside of the top 24?
Yeah, let's say outside of the top 24. So we kind of know the guys that, you know, we're settling in on. Then on the fringe, you've got guys like Chase Edmonds this week, guys like Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams. So basically what happens is once you get past those top 20, you start to get into the timeshares, the Broncos. For sure. You get involved into the Buffalo Bills. We've kind of talked about those guys. But is there somebody matchup related this week that you kind of like, or maybe opportunity-wise you think they're maybe a good start this week?
I think that Chase Edmonds is definitely a guy that you can look at. We're seeing a very, very safe floor from him week in and week out. And this matchup up against Jacksonville, I think that the Arizona Cardinals are going to put up 40 plus points on the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I think that the potential there for Chase Edmonds to be a top 15 running back is absolutely there this week. However, another guy that I mentioned earlier is Tony Pollard. I think that Pollard has now worked his way into this high-end RB3 conversation where, you know, I talked about I would rather start him over James Robinson. If Daryl Henderson plays, probably look to start Pollard over Henderson just because of the matchup, over Mike Davis, over Jamal Williams. Like, I think Pollard in his complementary role has the juice and efficiency to be able to at least return value on RB27 where I have him ranked. So I'll go Chase Edmonds there as my as the guy I've got at RB24, and then Tony Pollard for me at RB27.
All right, Andrew, when you're starting to look at these names here, when you go past like the RB2 category into those flex RBs, is there somebody that kind of sticks out for you potentially? Is it the Mike Davis rebound game, or is it potentially just a safer play like a James White or somebody like that, where at least in PPR you kind of know what you're getting?
For me, it's Leonard Fournette. I've liked what I've seen from Fournette over these past couple games, and unlike the Clyde Edwards-Helaire situation where, yeah, he plays in really good offense, so does Leonard Fournette. And he's the guy that they've been leaning on, and he's actually been used in their offense. Like, he has 9 catches on 11 targets through the first 2 weeks. He's PFF's 6th highest graded rusher. Like, he's looked really good for the first 2 weeks of the season. And similar to Edwards-Helaire, the Los Angeles team that he's playing also has a lot of light boxes. They do not stack the box. These LA teams are smart. They know we got to stop the passing game to win in the NFL. They don't try to stop. They invite teams to run on them, so they go with light boxes. Leonard Fournette, the 2nd highest graded rusher against light boxes, only behind Nick Chubb. So I'm going after Leonard Fournette. Like, I would say that it would not shock me at all to see Leonard Fournette be more productive for the rest of the season than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's the same, very similar situations where you have them both in high-powered offenses, and that's kind of what the initial appeal is, like, when you zoom out. But when you zoom in, you look at how these players are actually used. Like, Brady targets Leonard Fournette. And besides that one that hit him in the face and got intercepted, like, he's been catching most of the passes that have gone his way. He's looked a lot better than he did at the end of last year. I don't know what's going on with Ronald Jones. I don't know if his confidence is shot. They're just not going back to him. And it's interesting because Leonard Fournette's the only running back that Bruce Arians didn't, like, pump up or hype up at all during the season. I know. I checked all the receipts. Like, he hyped up Keyshawn Vaughn, Giovanni Bernard, and Ronald Jones. All those guys have just basically kind of fell to the wayside, whereas Fournette has been the one staple guy. And, you know, we saw that play out last year during the playoffs. So, yeah, I think Leonard Fournette, I think he's kind of like a buy low guy, because I don't think a lot of people kind of realize what they may have in Leonard Fournette. And, you know, and this is coming from someone that was not high on him at all going into the season. I was definitely not on Leonard Fournette. And after 2 weeks, I'm starting to change my mind a little bit.
There you go. A lot of messy backfields there. If you've got a true RB1 and 2, consider yourself lucky out there. It's been a lot of landmines, that's for sure. But as we transition on, before we get to wide receivers, I just want to mention to everybody, look, if you're a fan here of Fantasy Pros and you have been with us for a while watching the shows and absorbing all the content here, we like to give back here. And thanks to our friends over at Yahoo, we have the opportunity to do that. If you go right now, we're running a contest, fantasypros.com/life. Now, what does that mean? It's not like the game of life. No, it's not like the board game. This is a fantastic opportunity to win a subscription to Fantasy Pros for life, forever. And if you're an absolute nut when it comes to fantasy football, this is the place you want to be and hanging out with and using all these tools that we've got. So there are cash prizes up for grabs as well. Places 2 through 5 win a Fantasy Pros subscription, and the top 600 win cash in this, and it's a $10 entry, which means, if you recall, I've been telling you all offseason, if you go to fantasypros.com/offers, you're able to make a $10 deposit, right, in one of our partner sites, and get your MVP subscription for 6 months free. Well, guess what? You can go do that and get into this contest over at Yahoo. So go to fantasypros.com/offers, get your $10 deposit in there, and then go to fantasypros.com/life. Again, that's fantasypros.com/life to find out the details of how to enter. And you could be a Fantasy Pros subscriber for life just for playing fantasy. It doesn't get much better than that. So go and take care of that right now. Let's move over to the wide receivers. And Yates, we'll start with you this time. Let's talk about the top 30 guys, the guys that are probably locked into a lot of lineups. Who are you concerned with this week in that top 30 in terms of starting?
Yeah, of course. Well, I was really surprised as I looked through ECR to see that Marquise Brown was at wide receiver 30. And I think that Marquise Brown has been dominant to start the year. I'm not going to deny that. He has been fantastic. It's kind of come out of nowhere, especially for how inconsistent he has been in previous seasons. Now, he has the matchup this week up against Detroit. Does he have an excellent chance to find the end zone? Yeah, especially when you consider that Jeffrey Okuda and Ifeatu Melifonwu are now out for an extended period of time here. So the cornerback matchup is perfect for Marquise Brown. But I think that what we're going to see here from Baltimore is just lean into the run game. Like, lean into the run game the way that the Packers did here in week 2, and the way that you can beat the Detroit Lions is just to keep the offense off the field and just run the ball down their throat. And I think that that is going to be the recipe for success here. So Marquise Brown, I've got it 38 on the week. So he is still someone that I would consider as a high-end flex play. But ECR, expert consensus ranking, which we have here at Fantasy Pros, has him all the way up at wide receiver 30. And actually, it's moved up even since the time that we started recording this episode to wide receiver 29. So I think that there are just a lot of concerns here with Marquise Brown this week. I'm not ready to completely crown him as this like consistent mid-range wide receiver 3.
Well, let's see. 6 of his 6 targets in week 1 for 16 half-point PPR points. And then last week, obviously, against the Chiefs, 20 points on 10 targets. He got 6 of them for 113 and a touchdown in both games. He seems a little heavier to me this year too, which I think is kind of helping a little bit physically. He's always been on the slighter side, Yates. Have you noticed too, body type wise, it looks like a little bit different Marquise Brown than what we saw, I would say, his first year or two in the league?
I honestly haven't noticed anything as far as specifically with that, but I think that he's just being able to provide Lamar Jackson with a consistent outlet. And I think that that is what Jackson is looking for at this point. Like, he doesn't have that yet without Rashad Bateman on the field. So that's part of it too, is Bateman's not back for this game, but I think that once we do see Rashad Bateman return to the lineup, that he is going to be that safety outlet for Lamar Jackson. And then at that point, Brown moves into this like inconsistent flex play. That's at least what I'm forecasting.
All right, Andrew, who are you concerned with who's in the top 30 right now if you're starting? Because right now, again, the guys in the top 30 probably are locked into spots, but is there somebody maybe that you have a little bit of concern with when it comes to week 3?
Yeah, so the guy that I looked at, I think he was ECR wide receiver 29, so maybe he's 30 now, or maybe he moved up. I don't know, but he's on the cusp there. So we're really, you know, threading the needle here with these wide receivers that we have concerns about. So for me, it's Ja'Marr Chase, and it just has to do with how the target share has kind of played itself out through the first couple of weeks. We weren't really sure. We thought it was going to be pretty flat across the board between Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. But after 2 weeks, it's actually Chase that has the lowest target share of the three guys. He's at 19%. Tyler Boyd is at 22%. And T. Higgins is at 28%. So Higgins is kind of looking like the alpha in that offense. And look, Ja'Marr Chase has been getting it done on long plays, big plays and touchdowns, and that's fine. Like, that's part of his game. So it's no knock on him as a player. That's why you like him in fantasy football, because when he doesn't see a large target volume, he can still get home with big plays on the outside, catching touchdowns, which is exactly what he's done. But that isn't always super consistent, isn't always super sustainable, especially when you're facing the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. So I just have concerns about how well this Bengals offense is going to operate. They've been really reliant on the run game with Joe Mixon as they've been kind of acclimating Joe Burrow back from his knee injury. They have the third highest run rate on early downs. So I expect them to still try to run the football even against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Ja'Marr Chase has the fifth highest fantasy points over expectation over the last 2 weeks because he hasn't been seeing a lot of targets. He's really been on those big plays. And the thing that really stood out to me last week was it looked like he was going to probably bust last week before that 42-yard touchdown. And it was interesting because on that play, T. Higgins was not on the field. He was getting looked at on the sidelines by the medical staff because he got banged up or something. And, you know, through that whole, I was watching that game, I was like, you know, he's not, you know, where's Ja'Marr Chase? Like, I haven't seen him get the ball once or twice. Like, where is he? And all of a sudden, who catches a 42-yard bomb because T. Higgins isn't on the field. And then the minute that T. Higgins came back, touchdown for T. Higgins. So I still think the offense is going through T. Higgins as the number one receiver in this offense. So in tougher matchups, I don't know if we're going to see Ja'Marr Chase pop off one of these big plays. So that's why I have him, you know, just outside the top 30 guys.
Let's take a quick break from the action to tell you guys about Pristine Auction. That is the place to go for all the cool swag this football season. Helmets, footballs, jerseys, you like baseballs, you like bats, you like artwork, you like cool stuff that you want to bid on. Pristine Auction is the place to go. Head over to pristineauction.com. Again, that's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. And when you use that promo code Fantasy Pros, you get a $5 credit on us just to sign up. It's free to sign up. And there's $5 in your account just on us, and start bidding on all these amazing items they have. We're giving away a Kyler Murray football that's autographed. Guess what? That's where we got it, Pristine Auction. So go to pristineauction.com, get your bidding on, and get some cool stuff that you can put around your house this upcoming football season. And now, back to the show. When we're also looking, there's a name for me too who's banged up. Now, some of the reports are saying that he is going to be okay and looks like he's probably going to play as of now, but I'm still concerned about Diontae Johnson, who right now is wide receiver 25 in terms of ranking, and to me, that's just a little tenuous. I think there's some other names around there that you could probably plug in for this other week, because do you really want to take that risk with a player who's not 100%? And I know he's a wonderful player, especially in full PPR, but at the same time, I think health is always paramount with these players too, and if you've got a healthy, good option you could play above him, that's something to consider. Now, that's where we kind of kick into high gear here, and let's talk about some of those options to consider over them. So, Yates, let's start here, and let's play a little game here with Rondale Moore, who's a player that a lot of us picked up in a lot of leagues. We were touting him last week, and we're touting him this week on the Waiver Wire show, but right now we've got to make some decisions. So, who should I start, Rondale Moore or possibly a healthy Diontae Johnson?
Even if Diontae Johnson plays, I really don't know if he's going to be healthy, right? I think that he's going to be limited. So I think Diontae Johnson, his ECR ranking right now at 25 is kind of just a placeholder, like until we get more information here. And we haven't gotten that as we're recording here on Wednesday afternoon. I guarantee that it'll drop as soon as we finish recording this episode. That's just how it goes. So I think at this point, I am going to play, even if Diontae Johnson is kind of banged up here, though, and he does play, I'll probably still start Diontae Johnson over Rondale Moore. The snap count is just not what I want it to be for Rondale Moore just yet. Now, he's insanely talented. He is tied with Debo Samuel for most yards after the catch in the NFL through 2 weeks. Like, he is just absolutely exploding onto the scene. But until we see that usage tick up, that snap count tick up, I don't know if I can trust him over someone like Diontae Johnson, who, when he is on the field, has just a massive target share, no matter even if he is, you know, banged up a little bit.
All right, let's continue on with the Rondale Moore question, because Andrew, this is a player that a lot of people picked up who want to potentially start this week because it is a very good matchup regardless of the snap count. Yate brings up a good point about that, but what about Rondale Moore versus Michael Pittman? Those two guys are basically 40 and 41 right now, back-to-back in rankings on Fantasy Pros this week. So who would you rather start, Pittman with the lesser quarterback or Rondale Moore with Kyler Murray?
Rondale Moore with Kyler Murray or Michael Pittman with Jacob Eason or Carson Wentz without two functioning ankles.
I was going to say without any ankles. Ankle-less Carson Wentz or Jacob Eason. Probably going to be Eason would be my guess.
I'm going to ride the hot hand. And it's not to say that Michael Pittman didn't have a great game in week two, because he did. And especially against that LA Rams defense was really impressive. But Rondale Moore, I get that the concerns with the snap counts are not there, but everything that he's doing on the field should signify to Cliff Kingsbury that we need to get this guy on the field more. Like, we need to play him more. If you look at his threat rate, which is a statistic on pff.com, it's basically target rate per route run, the top three guys, basically, in terms of commanding targets on a route run basis, Deebo Samuel, Cooper Kupp, Rondale Moore. So when he's on the field, he gets the ball. So even though he is playing a limited amount of snaps, every snap he plays is super meaningful and he's getting involved. And like, are the Jaguars, like, I mean, the guy is super talented. You mentioned the Yak. Are the Jaguars DBs, you know, all these backups, are they going to be able to corral him and bring him down after he makes a couple catches on a couple bubble screens here and there? Like, I don't think so. It just, I know that he's going to be involved in the offense, like whether it's five catches for 50 yards or whatever. I know that he's going to be more involved. Whereas Michael Pittman, like, I don't know what this Colts offense is going to look like now we have another new quarterback in play. So I have a lot of concerns with what Michael Pittman could potentially do. Again, Paris Campbell didn't even play in week one. Is he going to be back in week two? How does that affect shake things out? You know, Zach Pascal continues to catch touchdowns at an unsustainable rate. So we'll see. And, you know, Jack Doyle also got more involved in the Colts passing offense last week as well. So Rondale Moore, yes, I know that he's somewhat like buried on the snaps in terms of where he's lining up and with the other receivers on the Cardinals. But I mean, they're playing the Jags. The Cardinals are going to score a buttload of points. I just think that he's got a better chance of scoring. And I know that he's involved when he's on the field. So I'll go with Rondale Moore.
Yates, I know you love Michael Pittman, but this is business, not personal. So who would you rather start in this predicament? Again, they're back-to-back in terms of rankings this week.
Yeah, and let me just qualify this. Like, what I was talking about with Rondale Moore versus Deontay Johnson, like, for me, that's not close. But that came across that if I don't like Rondale Moore this week. That's not the case. I have him at 33 on the week. So, like, I love Rondale Moore, and it's not a question between him and Michael Pittman Jr. Probably not even if Carson Wentz ends up playing, which they're actually, it's like trending. We're getting news that it's trending towards that he actually might be able to play, but what's the status of his, you know, his mobility and stuff like that. So Rondale Moore at 33 for me, Michael Pittman Jr. at 44. That's not close.
All right, let's move on to some more guys here, and let's talk about those guys on the fringe out there, maybe the wide receiver fours we're looking at in flex plays, the guys probably ranked after 36 and beyond, maybe 36 to 50. Yates, is there a name that's sitting out there right now that you really like that has an opportunity to be a good flex play that's not named Rondale Moore because he's 40, even though you've got him higher, but enough Rondale Moore talk. Is there somebody else out there that might be a sneaky good start this week?
Let's go with Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney here sitting at 46 in ECR. I think that he has an incredible opportunity in front of him this week with Justin Fields as the official starting quarterback for my Chicago Bears. The opportunity share that Darnell Mooney had last week was just incredible. And he performed even with Justin Fields, like looking kind of shaky, right? Justin Fields statistically 6 for 13 off the top of my head, but one pass was just slightly overthrown on Darnell Mooney. He should have come down with that one. He had a pass go right through Allen Robinson's arms in the end zone. Like, that should have been a touchdown, a big yardage play. So we're seeing that we can see that this offense can take off, and Darnell Mooney is a key part of it. He's actually outsnapped Allen Robinson through, you know, the first two games of the season. So I think that Darnell Mooney is a guy that I am looking to get in my starting lineups this week. No questions asked.
Jacoby Myers or Darnell Mooney? Who should I start, Yates?
That would be Darnell Mooney for me. I think that he has more upside. I'm going to go with the quarterback there, right? It's even though the matchup up against Cleveland, like Cleveland has a solid secondary, but I think the quarterback touchdown upside is absolutely there for Justin Fields. Whereas with Mac Jones, he's averaging half a touchdown per game. So I don't know what the upside is for Jacoby Myers. He might bring you a safe floor, but Mooney is his upside's through the roof.
Andrew, how about you? The safe floor of Myers or maybe potentially more with Mooney?
I'm going for the moon, man. I'm going with Darnell Mooney because that's where his value is going to go. He's going to pop off massively in this game against the Cleveland Browns. I mean, what's been killing the Cleveland Browns in the secondary the last 2 weeks? Brandon Cooks, Tyreek Hill, speed, downfield threats. Justin Fields, average depth of target, is number one in the NFL. Andy Dalton's is last in the NFL. It couldn't be a bigger difference between these two quarterbacks. And so I absolutely love Mooney. I love the call by Yates.
All right. So who else do you like there? Was Mooney your guy too? Or is there somebody else maybe in that wide receiver four range that has flex appeal for you this week?
For me, it's Kenny Golladay. And I think it's pretty easy. Look, people. Yeah, he started out the season slow. But Kenny Golladay is really talented. Like, I get that he's on the Giants and he dealt with a hamstring injury. But you need to kind of like forget about that because that's not the case anymore. Like, he's healthy. He got a 27% target share last week, a 38% air yard share. Like, Daniel Jones is frantically looking for him in the end zone, down the field, and he's playing the freaking Atlanta Falcons, who just gave up the bounce back game for Mike Evans. Oh, Mike Evans, oh, you had a bad game in week one. Oh, he's playing Falcons week two. Oh, great. Bounce back. It's the exact same thing that's going to happen with Kenny Golladay. So I have Kenny Golladay inside. I keep ranking him higher and higher because I know he's going to have a monster game. The Falcons defense can't stop anybody. They are the They've given up the most end zone receptions this season. And what does Kenny Golladay do better than anybody? Score touchdowns. Like, that's all he did in Detroit. And that player is still there in New York. He's just donning a different jersey. So you just got to kind of look past the Giants and Jason Garrett and all this hullabaloo and look at Kenny Golladay, the player, and be like, no, this guy is a very good wide receiver, and he's got a very good matchup. So I think if you can't start Kenny Golladay this week, then you should trade him, because you're never going to see him in a better spot this week. That's a
great point. Or maybe trade for him if you're desperate for some wide receiver help too, because the matchup is very good. And spoiler alert, tomorrow on the DFS show, when we record that and put that one up there, I'll be recording that one. We're going to talk a whole lot about that game, just putting that out there. A whole lot of value, a whole lot of combinations to dissect. So if Golladay's the guy you want, who's the guy that you want to stay away from, Andrew, in that same grouping? Because it seems like there might be a fade there in the Jets that you're a little concerned with this matchup against Denver.
Yeah, it's Corey Davis. And unfortunately for the people that have really dove into the preseason, we have the target rate that Corey Davis was having in the preseason from Zach Wilson was not sustainable over until the regular season. Again, if you look at the past 2 weeks, he doesn't even lead the Jets in targets. It's Braxton Berrios and Elijah Moore that actually have more targets than Corey Davis. He's at 17% target share. Those other two guys are at 19%. And this is without Jameson Crowder even playing. Jameson Crowder is supposed to come back to the offense. So Zach Wilson has looked pretty shaky in his first two starts, especially against the Patriots. Again, the Patriots do it to everybody, but especially rookie quarterbacks.
Right.
But Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos defense is not like a layup at all. Like, they arguably have one of the best, a better defense than the New England Patriots. So I don't know what you're going to expect from Corey Davis or anything in this Jets passing attack facing, in my opinion, the best secondary in the NFL with Patrick Surtain, Bryce Callahan. Like, those guys are locked and loaded studs at the cornerback position. So if Davis was like the clear leader in targets these past 2 weeks, I feel better about, okay, well, he's going to get the volume, so we're going to be able to have confidence in playing him. But he hasn't. He hasn't even got all the deep targets either. Elijah Moore has actually seen more of the air yards in the offense for the New York Jets. So for me, I'm benching Corey Davis. And this was kind of my concern with him before, you know, he started getting a ton of targets from Zach Wilson in the preseason. Like, how good is Corey Davis actually? Can he be an alpha in an offense? And so far, 2 weeks into the regular season, he has not really done that besides two touchdowns.
That was my concern too, when you start facing the ones on some really good defenses, because to reiterate once again, you're going to face all those teams in that division. All those defenses are very good. And then, of course, you had Tampa, you had Indianapolis. You've had a couple other defenses that now are on that schedule the Jets have to play that are maybe better than we thought, too. That's a lot for a young quarterback like Zach Wilson to take in. I think he'll be better than he was last week somewhere along the line. Maybe just not
Can't
in Denver.
Can't be much worse.
Can't be much worse. Can't be much worse. But then again, we can go down a long litany of Jet quarterbacks and play that game, and it's not pretty. Browning Nagel. All right, let's continue on here. Yates, you know, it's always a weird carousel when it comes to the Bucs wide receivers. Any insight with those guys this week?
Well, I put down Mike Evans as the fade here, and then we got news right before we started recording that Antonio Brown has been placed on the COVID-19 reserve list. So he is vaccinated, so there is still a possibility that he does return for this matchup. So I think with Mike Evans, I wanted to at least mention him here in this conversation of like fading these wide receivers, because this is the Mike Evans experience. This is what we see from Evans from time to time, is that he'll explode for multiple touchdowns, and then the next week he goes back to what he did in week one. So I don't want to see everyone just like completely reframe Mike Evans and what he is for fantasy managers in their minds and put him in their lineup as a locked and loaded, you know, top 15 option. You know, we need to pump the brakes here just a little bit with Mike Evans, because they're going up against the Rams pass defense, and we could see Jalen Ramsey. He's been playing this star role on the defense this year, so he hasn't really, I think, locked down much this year, but he could line up on Mike Evans. And if that is the case, then we could see Evans struggle in this one. So it's just pumping the brakes here, adjusting our expectations for Mike Evans.
Let's move on to tight end, the classic have and have not position. Either got one or you're trying to figure it out. So for those who are trying to figure it out, Andrews or somebody maybe on that fringe of tight end one that you like the matchup, either streaming or maybe if you got two tight ends and you're trying to decide that you think is worthy of a start this week.
I still like Jonnu Smith. I think that he's still a solid streamer or a guy you can just kind of plug back into your lineup. Look, last week he didn't really do a lot because he only ran 12 routes. So when you look at that, you're like, oh man, like he's barely even playing and Hunter Henry's playing over him. Like, what's the deal? But then you remember, like, he was on the injury report, like, right before the game, like, on Friday before the game. So they were limiting his snaps. Like, he wasn't going to play a full role. Bill Belichick doesn't tell us any of this. So you're kind of like, if you started him last week, you're kind of like, you know, out of luck when that comes to that. But the fact that he saw so many targets, like he saw four targets on 12 routes run, again, his target rate per route run, again, to emphasize, is a really great stat for predicting or projecting ahead for future production, is 30%, which is the highest among all tight ends. So when he's running routes, Mac Jones is throwing him the ball. So if he sees a full complement of snaps, assuming that he is healthy and off the injury report, then he's going to see more targets than he saw last week with a full role in the offense. So I think that it makes a lot of sense. Again, the matchup isn't great against the Saints, but you know, tight end matchups can kind of be finicky because it depends, oh, who faced Darren Waller or who faced Travis Kelce? Like, oh, that's right. The team that's worst against tight ends. So I don't try to read too much into that and specifically with tight end matchups. So I think Jonnu Smith, you're looking for targets with tight ends. And we obviously know Smith has a lot of yards after the catch ability. So I like him in this matchup because I think he's going to get more targets.
Yeah, it's a little early for that kind of data to really come to fruition. Got to wait. Got to get 5-6 games of the season before we get a good idea right. about some of those stats and what they mean. So that's something early on that a lot of people make that mistake. And I, for one, was certainly playing Russian roulette with the tight ends in a few leagues. And I sat Jonnu Smith because I was worried. And I picked up Jared Cook, who was also on that fringe, who had a touchdown. And then it got called back. So yeah, that did not end very well. So you just wanted to vent a little bit just so everybody knows you're not alone. We go through the same exact things you all do. You're one of us. We're with you. Yates, when it comes to some of these guys right around that fringe of tight end one, is there somebody for you that kind of pops to mind?
Yeah, Jonnu's in that conversation. I've had to adjust my expectations, obviously, because of the quarterback play here. Jonnu Smith, an average depth of target of 2.2 yards through 2 weeks. So he is completely relying on his yak ability to be able to create in this offense. And I mean, four interceptions. The Patriots were just able to completely rely on their run game last week and just say, we don't have to really throw the ball a ton or push the ball deep downfield because we're winning this game by so much, right? So I think Jonnu, last week, we have that perception of him in our minds, and it's kind of now 2 weeks, all right. But I think we can still comfortably rely on him because, again, to quote Dan Harris, once you get past the top six tight ends, all your tight ends stink. So Jonnu Smith in that range where I definitely think he is still in streaming consideration. People are wanting to drop Jonnu. It's just, no, don't do that just yet. Robert Tonyan is the other guy that I will go with here. Robert Tonyan, three targets last week, which isn't great. Caught all three of them for 52 yards in the score, which, I mean, that throw from Aaron Rodgers to Robert Tonyan was just absolutely beautiful in the end zone. But Aaron Rodgers only threw the ball 27 times. I think he's going to have to throw the ball more here. And I think that Robert Tonyan can see his target totals increase in this matchup. So Tonyan at 11 for me in my tight end rankings. I think that you can plug him into your lineup because he does come with that touchdown upside.
All right, let's play America's favorite game. Who should I start? Jonnu Smith or Austin Hooper? We keep talking about maybe some open targets in that Cleveland offense. Would you still take Jonnu over Hooper?
I would. I've got Jonnu at 14. I've got Austin Hooper at 16. And this is the kind of thing with like what Andrew was talking about in week one with Austin Hooper. Everything lines up for Hooper to be relevant and to actually have a role here. And now you got Jarvis Landry on the injured reserve. We could see the targets go to Austin Hooper. Odell Beckham Jr. is appearing to like be a full go in practice. So we'll monitor that as we move throughout the week. So he could dominate a ton of the targets here in this offense. But everything lines up for Austin Hooper to be relevant. And then we kind of play this game always where it's like, all right, this is the week. And then he does nothing. And then the next week, we're going to sit Austin Hooper here. Oh, he caught a touchdown. Great. Fantastic. Like, I don't know if I want to play that game anymore.
Yeah, sometimes you're the Hooper, sometimes you're the Scooper, as we alluded to in the first week of this show. How about you, Andrew Erickson? Are you ready to go back to the Austin Hooper wells or still starting Jonnu for you?
It's definitely enticing to go back to Austin Hooper because he is my guy, and he saw like the direct benefit from Jarvis Landry missing last week or being taken out of the game very early because his target share like boosted dramatically the most among all of the players. Rashard Higgins like played more, but he didn't do anything with the snaps that he played. So I get the idea behind going behind Hooper, but again, I think Yates kind of hit the nail on the head where, you know, you still have David Njoku like gobbling up all the air yards at the tight end position. They're still using Harrison Bryant. And it's like teams that have two tight ends are hard enough to figure out, let alone the teams that have three tight ends right. that are like relevant. So it could still get like flattened out between all three guys. So it's super frustrating. Whereas at least Jonnu, again, it is Hunter Henry there. And I know that Jonnu also just has more athleticism and more explosiveness to his game. Like Austin Hooper has to catch a touchdown to like be a legitimate tight end. Whereas I could see, I don't know if I'll ever see Austin Hooper get 100 yards receiving. Like, I don't know if that'll ever happen as long as I continue to do fantasy analysis. But Jonnu Smith, like, I know he can take a bubble screen like 80 yards to the house because I know that he has that in his range of outcomes just from his ability. So I will still lean towards Jonnu there.
All right. How about, boys, some of the guys that are in that top grouping there, the tight end ones. Is there a fade for you in that group this week, Yates, that you're a little concerned with, that, you know, not that you're going to necessarily take them out of your lineup or start, like, you know, some streaming tight end over them, but you have to build that into maybe your flex position if it's an underwhelming matchup?
Yeah, it's Tyler Higbee for me. Tyler Higbee going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers run or pass defense. I think the linebackers there can easily shut down Tyler Higbee. And we saw that going into last week. It was something where the Indianapolis Colts had been historically stout against tight ends, and they shut Tyler Higbee down. He was barely a part of the offense. So I think with Higbee, he's still in consideration for me as someone that you definitely can still start. But I'm concerned, right? I just have my reservations around him. He's in the kind of same range as Jonnu Smith, Dallas Goedert, you know, some of those other guys.
Higbee was the same guy for me. So, Andrew, you want to sit at the cool kids table with us, or you got somebody else?
No, I mean, I guess I have a reverse take. So I'm not super high on Robert Tonyan, just due to the fact that he's not getting targets in this offense. Like, the target share, just even though Aaron Rodgers could potentially throw more, like, he's seeing like a 13% target share, which is like inside the 20s. Like, he's not involved in the offense. And it's funny that he even caught that touchdown because he was like triple covered and Alan Lazard is like wide open in the middle.
It was a beautiful throw. Like, that was the only spot where it could possibly have been caught.
So clearly Aaron Rodgers has Robert Tonyan on his fantasy team. He's like, oh my God, like, you gave me a goose egg last week.
That was the craziest throw, man. That really is off the chart.
I need to get you a touchdown so you score fantasy points for my team. So yeah, it's touchdown or bust with Robert Tonyan, which I think is like a lot of tight ends when you get, I just don't think that's why he's not like an elite option where he's like a top 12 guy, I think, in the rankings. So for me, I'm a little bit lower on Robert Tonyan. And then I guess I'll reverse course with Tyler Higbee. Again, I have him at 13, which I know we're talking about some of these tight ends on the fringe, but the usage was still really good last week. Like, he's still running a lot of routes. He was running a route on 84% of Matthew Stafford's dropbacks, which was sixth overall. And that's what you're looking for. Like, you need guys to be running routes. Like, as long as your tight end's not blocking, that like increases your chances of them catching passes substantially. And yes, he only got one target last week because we saw Robert Woods' role like increase. But we've seen this Rams offense, the targets should kind of fluctuate a little bit through these first 2 weeks outside of Cooper Kupp, who's just kind of like commanded this like absurd target share over the first 2 weeks, whereas the other guys have really fluctuated. So not ready to like give up on Higbee just yet. So I mean, they're going to have to throw the ball in this matchup, as we talked about when we were talking about Tampa Bay and how they are a pass funnel defense. So I do think Higbee, more often than not, will be running routes. So I do think that gives him a legitimate chance of being a fantasy producer. So I will defend Higbee, I guess.
All right, real quick, for those who are in deeper leagues here, who should I start? Mike Gesicki or Cole Kmet? These guys are ranked 17 and 18 back-to-back. Andrew, who would you start between those two?
I hate them both as options.
I didn't ask for your feelings. I asked for a player to start.
They make me absolutely sick. I think when I looked at my rankings too, they were back to back. So I'm like, okay, like, this isn't even like an easy choice. For me, I'm going to go with Kmet because I think Justin Fields is better than Jacoby Brissett. So that's my take there. And yeah, I think we could see something exciting from Fields with Kmet. Again, I have literally no idea how these targets are going to be distributed. Their target shares are basically the same on the year. Gesicki sees a lot more downfield shots than Kmet, but that's also because Andy Dalton was the quarterback for the Bears, and he has a 4.6 average depth of target. So we could see Kmet used more in a different way, just more excitement. So I'll go with Kmet because I think I've kind of seen what I've seen from Gesicki, and I'm just like, I'll take a flyer on Kmet.
All right, I'm going to agree with you. It's Kmet for me, too, because of the potential with Fields. Let's see if we can get Yates in here and see all three of us on the same page once they show.
Yeah, this is Kmet for me.
All right.
With Gesicki, the usage is not consistent enough for me. I mean, he went in week two, had 37 receiving routes run to 17 in week one. Like, he went from 17 to 37. So it's like, okay, what are we going to get in week three? Who knows? So I just don't want to play that game. I will go with Cole Kmet, who I know is going to be on the field.
All right, there you have it. Let's move on to the quarterback position here. And look, let's be honest, the top 10 quarterbacks right now, for the most part, playing pretty well. We don't have a whole lot of guys that we're worried about. But if there is somebody who is in the top 12, technically, I'm just slightly concerned. And I say slightly, it's Teddy Bridgewater. I know we all feel really good. We see the Jets, we see all this stuff. But how many times in the NFL we see a team get embarrassed, and then all of a sudden, right, you can't possibly think, oh, the Jets are going to be good in this game, all this stuff. And then what happens? You get a very weird game where all of a sudden a team that probably should not be competitive goes into someone else's territory and actually is competitive. So I'm just saying, he's on that fringe where I think I maybe prefer the matchup Daniel Jones has against the Falcons, who's at 13. Ryan Tannehill is at home, and it's an important matchup there against Indianapolis. I'd still consider him over Bridgewater. So I get it. Teddy B's been very good. But at the same time, it gives me pause. How about for you guys? Is there anybody in the top 12 quarterbacks? Yates, we'll start with you on this one, that you're just slightly concerned about potentially in their matchup?
It's Justin Herbert for me. And I think with Justin Herbert, there was always this kind of thing just hanging over my shoulder with ranking Justin Herbert going into the year was like, what's he going to do going from the offensive coordinator that he had in year one under Shane Steichen to then Joe Lombardi in year two? What's that going to be like? And right now, I mean, yes, he has phenomenal passing yardage totals. He went, actually, fun fact, he had 337 passing yards in week one, 338 in week two. So now we're going to get 339 here in week three, just based on that pace. But with Justin Herbert, it's 2 touchdowns on the year to 3 interceptions. Like, the production has not been there. Now, you can buy into the projected over-under, and you can buy into the projected game script that this is going to be a shootout, but we wanted to do that same thing last week with Dallas, and the over, it didn't even reach anywhere close to the over-under. So Herbert here is just, I'm concerned. I think that you can still play him, and there is the potential that he starts to figure this out, but I am not willing to rank him as a top 12 option this week.
Speaking from the IDP side, I just want to mention too, you know, last year when Van Der Esch came back healthy, the defense got a little bit better. Not great, but still a little bit better in Dallas. And now they got Parsons too. That linebacking core is much better than people realize, I think, in Dallas. And they're going to come to that realization very quickly as we pull up into October. So the Dallas defense, not great, but I think much better than they were last year at the very least. So that's something to consider going forward in your matchups. How about you, Andrew? Is there somebody in that top tier quarterback that worries you a little bit this week?
Well, I guess, you know, to kind of tie in the Cowboys defense there, I guess it would be Hurts, like, a little bit. Again, he's just so safe with his rushing that from a fantasy production side, it's not too concerning. But, you know, we saw him kind of regress a little bit last week when he wasn't playing the Atlanta Falcons. So he wasn't nearly as good against the 49ers. And Dallas's defense has looked a little bit better. Trevon Diggs is kind of starting to emerge as a shutdown corner. So we could see him potentially kind of eliminate Devonta Smith, 2 Alabama guys going at it. And they lost Brandon Brooks. And mm-hmm. one of their guards. And we saw how this offensive line was when they lost guys last year, and it was terrible, and it was just a mess. So that's just kind of something I'd point out about Jalen Hurts. You're still going to start him because the rushing is just so high. And the fact that he wasn't even good last week and still finished with over 20 fantasy points kind of tells you, explains the story behind Jalen Hurts. But quick question. But you guys think that Fields is going to get into this top 12 ECR over? I would assume that he'd probably be over Bridgewater. I'm going to probably rank him over Bridgewater.
I struggle with that. I don't know if I can rank him over Jones and Tannehill. That's where I'm at. I think he has a little bit more risk than, you know, maybe we realize too. But, you know, Darnold's got a really good matchup theoretically against Houston. I think he's more in that 15-16 range for me than the QB1 range. But Yates, maybe you feel differently.
Nope, I don't. He's in that range for me. Right out of the gate here with Justin Fields. I think that he has the potential to rise into the top 12. And especially, I mean, if he's starting, week four against Detroit, then yes, sure will be in my top 12. But here up against Cleveland, like right out of the gate, there's a little bit more risk here than I think that I feel more comfortable with guys like Teddy Bridgewater and some of these other options.
All right, super flex leagues have taken a big hit this week with quarterbacks. There's a lot of problems right now going on with those low-end QB2s, so let's help people out here. Here are the guys on the fringe at 24 and on. Taylor Heinicke, Jameis Winston, Garoppolo, Mac Jones, Jared Goff, Zach Wilson. Who should I start here? Should I start Jared Goff or Jimmy Garoppolo? Andrew, let's start with you.
I'm going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo because he's playing the Green Bay Packers, and mm-hmm. we saw their defense get shredded by Jameis Winston and Jared Goff in 2 weeks, or, you know, I guess 6 quarters would be the best way to put it, because we said Jared Goff was not able to continue success to the second half of the week 2 game against the Packers. But yeah, the Packers have tons of issues. Basically, you just find wherever Kevin King is on the field and just throw him the ball, or you just basically line up whatever receiver you have against Kevin King, and then you throw that to that guy. So they can move Debo around so that he's not affected by Alexander whatsoever. I mean, if they throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage, it's not like Alexander can shut down Debo Samuel. You know, it happened last year when the 49ers played the Rams and everyone was afraid of Debo because, oh, Ramsey's going to shut him down. And then Debo had like 150 yards after the catch in that game. So, yeah, I think the 49ers are just going to be an overmatching against this Packers defense that has a lot of injuries, just has not looked good through the first 2 weeks. And look, the Goff thing, he has not looked good, in my opinion, from like a real life perspective. And eventually the garbage time points kind of fizzle out and they don't last forever. Like, I've been on this Blake Bortles 2015 thing before where they score a lot of points. You're like, yeah, I'm just all stream Bortles. Like, I'll get him off the waiver wire. It'll be easy. And then you do it and then you watch the game. You can't watch the game.
You cannot watch the game. No, you cannot do it.
You cannot watch the game. And it just, it does not last long. Like, quarterbacks that are not good, just they don't end up being fantasy producers for very long. It can happen, but it's not something you should bank on.
That a lot year, of shade really to quick.
Throw on. Oh, no, really I was quick. Say, it's a lot of shade to throw on Jared Goff, who, by the way, also led his team in rushing in that game. I just want to say.
Yeah, that was that absurd. Jared Goff out there thinking that he's Lamar Jackson. with that, you talk about Blake Bortles. I played Blake Bortles in my fantasy championship that year because he just had that like ridiculous stretch of matchups. That was one where I needed to put my phone down and walk away and be completely away for the entire day because I was like, I cannot watch this happen with Blake Bortles in my starting lineup as my streaming quarterback that year. That I just could not do it for my mental health.
All right, let's check in on everybody else's mental health here and close things out strong. Let's start with the top starts and sits of the week for all of us. I'll begin things and give the guys a little bit more time to process. As a flex play in the deeper leagues, I like Kenyon Drake this week. I would start him. I think he can return you double-digit fantasy points, maybe some upside for more. I'm telling you right now, don't take those revenge games lightly with certain guys, and I think for Kenyon Drake, this one's personal. And for me, my must-sit is Corey Davis. I just don't like this matchup. I don't like the situation here for Denver. I would not be surprised if the Jets were more competitive than they were last week, because that's the nature of the NFL, but Corey Davis, I just don't feel good about starting. How about you, Andrew, when it comes to your must-start, must-sit of the week? Who are those guys?
Kenny G. Kenny Golladay is going to ball out this week. He's going to make the Giants feel happy that they paid him a buttload of money. So we'll go with Kenny Golladay. And then Edwards-Helaire, sit him. Try to trade him this week before, because I think you're going to see the bottom kind of drop out on his value. Like, people are talking about, oh, you can't sell low. It's like, okay, but there's a difference between selling low and then there's nothing left to sell at all. So,
and I bet a lot of people, like you said earlier, will just see they've given up a lot of yards against running backs, but not understand kind of the deeper points that you made
to good running backs. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's just, right. I just don't know if Edwards-Helaire is good. And I think that gets overlooked sometimes. We just get so deep into the usage, into the situation. But then when you kind of like zoom out, it's like, wait a minute. Is this guy good at football? Is he a good running back? And so far, at least this year, he has not been a good running back. So I'm not going to buy bad players.
Yates, who's good at football that you want to start and who's not and you want to sit him?
Well, okay, so you teed that up incorrectly for me because I want to talk about Daniel Jones, but I don't know if he's good at football.
No, I will reset.
No, he's going to play. He's been good this year. He's been good this year.
He's been good in fantasy this year. Let's give the caveat.
Daniel Jones for me is inside my top 12 or top 10 quarterbacks on the week, and that feels not feeling great.
I love it Yates.
Daniel Jones up against Atlanta, and this is with like the usage that he's getting on the ground. If that continues up against the Atlanta Falcons secondary, then Daniel Jones is in line for a massive performance. In one of my leagues I sat Ryan Tannehill, who is the quarterback 26 on the season so far through two games. And I'm starting Daniel Jones this week because I need to string together some wins. Feels gross, but that's where we're at. And then the sit for me is James Robinson. I talked about it. This matchup against the Arizona Cardinals defense, I think that a lot of people are going to start to look towards the usage and they're going to say, all right, I think we can start to buy back into James Robinson. I'm saying not just yet. Wait for a better matchup here. So James Robinson is my sit of the week.
Thursday Night Football, let's just touch on it real quick. With Davis Mills playing quarterback, Erickson, do you think he could still roll Cooks out there?
Last week, I said, start Terry McLaurin. Don't care that he's a backup quarterback. I'm saying the exact same thing again here with Brandon Cooks.
Wow, you can't take Terry McLaurin out. I even said I was afraid of Terry McLaurin, and I was very clear, never sit him.
Okay, I'm but just Cooks saying, I got a bunch of questions about, what do I do with Terry McLaurin? Okay, like, no, you had to start.
They all ask him like that, too. What do I do with this guy? I don't know what to do with him.
Exactly. The thing with Davis Mills is, and this just goes back to doing like draft study on him, was he locks on to his first read. That's all he does. We saw it in week two. He gave Brandon Cooks 10 targets, 55% target share. Nobody else had more than two targets in the entire game. So Brandon Cooks is going to get fed. He might only catch a quarter of his 20 targets he'll see in week three, but that's going to turn into fantasy production. So do not bench Brandon Cooks. Like, you cannot bench him. He's just been a target machine. He's going to get so many opportunities in this match that he's going to stumble into fantasy production one way or another. And again, we try to think that we know, Davis Mills, he's a rookie, he must suck. It's like, you don't necessarily know that. Like, he didn't necessarily, like, look amazing, you know, coming in limited action, but he's got some time to practice with Brandon Cooks, and I think that's where the ball is going to go. So I think Brandon Cooks is the safest guy. You can probably the only guy you can play from the Texans, but I'm going to start him.
Yates, I'm going to phrase this in a way that Andrew's comfortable with. What should I do with Robbie Anderson? Should I play him or not?
I am downgrading Robbie Anderson, but he is still technically a start for me. I've got him inside my top 40 receivers on the week. So I think you can look at Robbie Anderson. He needs to, it's one of those things though, we need to adjust our expectations for him. So he's this guy who's now in this flex territory, can still bring you some upside week in and week out because of his big playability. We saw that in week one and up against Houston, it absolutely can happen, but I'm not relying on it. The targets are going to CMC, they're going to DJ Moore, and then it is just, all right, which one of you, the, you know, Terrace Marshall, Robbie Anderson, and Dan Arnold, who wants it? And we'll, it's kind of an even split from there on out. So Robbie Anderson still inside my top 40, but just barely.
Real quick, would you stream the Carolina Panthers defense this week? Yes or no, boys?
100,000%.
Okay. 3 for 3
Panthers
on that.
Panthers are first in total DVOA this entire season. They've been playing fantastic.
They've also played the Jets. You know, again, it's all about who you play, right? We talked about, you know, they've also played the Jets to open the season too, and they've got a good matchup here. I want to see what they do now, and I hope Sam Darnold's very confident and he builds his confidence in September, because October is going to look a little trickier for him. So this is good. It's a feel-good story. Let's hope it continues. But make it 3 for 3. We finish all together. Don't forget, by the way, you can stick with us for life. Go to fantasypros.com/life to find out how you can enter that Yahoo contest and win a Fantasy Pros subscription for life. Sounds like a lot of fun. And of course, go to fantasypros.com/offers to find out how your $10 over on Yahoo can go a long way for you right now in this season and get you a 6-month free subscription over here to Fantasy Pros. Also want to remind everybody, don't forget about our Start Assistant as well. The Start Sit Assistant helps you at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. We've also got that autopilot feature too. Helps set your lineups when you're looking at them. And autopilot, of course, helps set your lineups when you're not available to look at them. So the best of all worlds, that's what we bring you here at Fantasy Pros. I also want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Owner's Box. Make sure you head over to Owner's Box right now. Use that promo code DREW9 for a $10 entry into their salary cap contest. And don't forget, of course, about Pristine Auction, Pristine Auction.com. Use the promo code Fantasy Pros to get a $5 credit and start bidding on all that cool swag over Pristine Auction right now. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And of course, click that notifications button over on the YouTube page as well. We are growing big time over there. Go to Fantasy Pros again, youtube.com/fantasypros to get in and join us at our YouTube party. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and Kyle Yates, I'm Joey P. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.